As far as they could find out, Mrs. Maroney was a widow, with one daughter, Flora Irvin, who was about 7 or 8 years old. Mrs. Maroney was from a very respectable family, now living in Philadelphia or its environs. She was reported to have run away from home with a roué whose acquaintance she had formed, but who soon deserted her. Afterwards she led the life of a fast woman at Charleston, New Orleans, Augusta, Georgia, Mobile, at which latter place she met Maroney, and was supposed to have been married to him. After Maroney was appointed agent in Montgomery, he brought her with him, took a suite of rooms at the Exchange, and introduced her as his wife. On account of these circumstances, the general superintendent did not wish to meet her, and when in Montgomery, always took rooms at another hotel. The vice president said he had nearly come to the conclusion that Maroney was not guilty of the $10,000 robbery, but when my letter reached him, with my comments on the robbery, he became convinced that he was the guilty party. He was strengthened in this opinion by the actions of Maroney while on his northern tour, and by the fact that immediately on his return the fast mare, Yankee Mary, made her appearance in Montgomery, and that Maroney backed her heavily. It was not known that he was her owner, it being generally reported that Patterson and other fast men were her proprietors. This was all the vice president and general superintendent had been able to discover while south, and they were aware that I had very little ground on which to work. I listened to all they had to say on the subject and took full memoranda of the facts. I then stated that although Maroney had evidently planned and carried out the robbery with such consummate ability that he had not left the slightest clue by which he could be detected, still, if they would only give me plenty of time, I would bring the robbery home to him. I maintained, as a cardinal principle, that it is impossible for the human mind to retain a secret. All history proves that no one can hug a secret to his breast and live. Everyone must have a vent for his feelings. It is impossible to keep them always penned up. This is especially noticeable in persons who have committed criminal acts. They always find it necessary to select someone in whom they can confide, and to whom they can unburden themselves. We often find that persons who have committed grave offenses will fly to the moors, or to the prairies, or to the vast solitudes of almost impenetrable forests, and then give vent to their feelings. I instanced the case of Eugene Aram, who took up his abode on the bleak and solitary moor, and, removed from the society of his fellow men, tried to maintain his secret by devoting himself to astronomical observations and musings with nature, but who, nevertheless, felt compelled to relieve his overburdened mind by muttering to himself details of the murder while taking his long and dreary walks on the moor.